Years ago, at an interfaith clergy meeting in Colorado Springs, where I was before I came here, one of the other folks at the meeting was the minister of the local Unity Church, called Unity Church of the Rockies. It was kind of across town from where we were. His name was Lawrence. And someone asked Lawrence to describe the Unity tradition. Other people didn't know very much about it, and so he started out this way. He said, "Well, we come out of Emerson and his ideas." And I thought, hey, wait. We come out of Emerson. And Lawrence kept talking about his tradition, and I began to see how it could be that both Unity and Unitarian Universalism owe a debt to the Oracle of Concord, that we each have claimed a different part of that legacy and some overlapping parts of that legacy. Lawrence and I spent part of that meeting comparing notes. Because you see, we each get the question all the time, what, if anything, is the connection between Unity and Unitarian Universalism? And he had been able to describe his tradition, and I had been able to describe mine, but we couldn't really tell other people about the others, and so we compared notes so we could do that. It was very helpful. What is the connection, if any, between Unity and Unitarian Universalism? After all, they have such similar names, and they both claim Emerson's ideas. So we helped each other out so we could answer the question. It was a nice reminder that liberal religion is bigger than just Unitarian Universalism. We're not alone in the world. Afterward, I got to thinking that Unity isn't the only tradition that we get confused with because of our name. I recall this story, perhaps it is apocrypha, urban legend, but I heard this story once of a woman who's searching for a religious home. This was back when people used phone books. She started with the A's, and she worked her way through the church section of the phone book. First, the Anglicans and the Apostolic and the Assemblies of God. Apostolic and the Assemblies of God. Sometimes you get the letters a little mixed up in your head. And then she went under the B's, the Baha'i, the Baptists. There are lots of different varieties of that Baptists. You can try them all out. The Catholics and the Charismatic and so on and so on. And after each visit, she would say to herself, well, I like parts of that. It wasn't quite right. Finally, she gets to the U's. It's been a year of visiting, and she visits the Unitarians, and she says, aha, this is it. It's a nice story. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's a nice story. There are a lot of U denominations, including the two Uniteds, the United Church of Christ, which came together in 1957 from various congregational churches, and the United Methodists, which reunited the Northern and Southern Methodists after the Civil War. They had split in two. But put those two Uniteds aside. They're different. And you're left with four traditions who have very similar names. And you may have been asked, what's the connection between us and one of them? So this sermon will try to answer that question. I get that question often enough that I think it's worthy of answering. So I want to talk today about us and about Unity and about the Universal Life Church and about the Unification Church. A lot of unis, so we'll try and figure it all out. I often hear, and I agree with this, that we Unitarian Universalists spend too much time defining ourselves by what we're not. That's true, I think. But that is also in the nature of definition. Definition says what it is like and what it is not like. An apple is like an orange because it's a round fruit. It is less like a basketball. It is very little like a monkey or a table. So I'll say something about what we have in common with these unique traditions and a little something about our differences with the hope to make clear that for us, our tradition has some unique good news for our lives and for our world. One common thread in some of these traditions is the importance of personal religious experience and conscience. For us and for Unity and for the Universal Life Church, we've all elevated the Protestant principle of the priesthood of all believers. We've all elevated that to a central core of who we are. All three of these traditions, and we'll see that the Unification Church is the one of these which is not like the others, more often than not. All three of the other unis respect individual belief. All three pride themselves on being non-creedal. In none of these churches will you be asked to recite a creed or a doctrine. In none of these churches will anyone tell you what you must believe to be saved. In none of these churches is religious wisdom restricted to a single book or a single era. For Unity, this freedom of belief comes largely from their embrace of transcendentalism, from our common teacher, Ralph Waldo Emerson, and his compatriots. Emerson believed, as both Unity and Unitarian Universalism still do, that the sacred and holy power many people call God is to be found everywhere, in particular in the human soul and in nature. Excuse me. It is what theologians call pantheism. Literally, everything is God. So our job as spiritual seekers is to listen to that still small voice within, to see the majesty of a falling leaf or a blade of grass, to hear the voice of God, of Spirit in our own heart. Emerson was deeply skeptical of formal religious institutions, of authority and tradition, and we and Unity both share that skepticism to this day. For the Universal Life Church, it's a good name, isn't it? This is just a good name. The freedom of belief comes from a radical anti-authoritarianism and from a commitment to the wisdom of spiritual diversity. The Universal Life Church was born in 1959, founded by a layperson unsatisfied with other religious options and with narrow doctrines. It took off in the 60s and the 70s. The Universal Life Church embodied its anti-authoritarian stance, one, by not really having meetings at all or worship in any kind of way, and also by issuing ordinations to anyone who answered their ad on the back of the Rolling Stone. That's them. That's the Universal Life Church. That's who they are. They say that 22 million people have been ordained by the Universal Life Church. Now you can do it online. I know quite a few folks who have done this for kicks or to perform a marriage for friends or for some other reason. You get a little certificate in the mail. And I'm curious, any of you ordained by the Universal Life Church? Go ahead. It's all right. Yeah, okay. That's really cool. So if I need someone to back me up on Sunday, you'll be ready, right? We share with the Universal Life Church their commitment to spiritual diversity. That's important to them. They're open to, it's no creed, you can believe what you choose to believe. All lifted hearts are one. There is wisdom to be gained from a whole variety of religious paths. We are not quite as freeform as they are, but we, like they, make no distinction in ordination or in membership on the basis of religion or gender or sexual orientation, race or gender identity or the like. The other common thread for us, for Unity, and for Unification is that we are all lowercase u Unitarians. Excuse me. I got something in my throat. Yeah, I'll be all right. We all believe in the unity of God, and we all deny traditional notions of the Trinity. Let me do a little bit of church history and theology with you, and I'm going to try not to get too far in the weeds, although maybe that, to mix my metaphors, maybe that ship has already sailed, and I'm already too far in the weeds, but try and hang with me. In the early Christian church, people had a lot of ideas about who this Jesus person was. They largely agreed that he was the Messiah, in Greek, the Christ, but they differed on what he was the Messiah for and what his relationship to God was. To complicate matters, there's also this concept of the Holy Spirit, and people didn't know quite what to do with that. People believed all sorts of things about this. One group, led by the bishop Arius, believed that Jesus was a human being endowed by God with special divine power, but still a human being. In the 1500s, when Unitarianism got started, the first Unitarians were called Arians, after the bishop Arius. That's, they thought they had the same belief. Thanks, Hinder. That's better. What did I say at the beginning? We all need water or we wilt, right? The official position of the church in 325, however, became belief in the Trinity, and Arius and his faction was excluded. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were three manifestations of the same God, but they were also three separate persons, all at the same time. It's kind of a complicated doctrine, as some of you know. It's a mystery wrapped in a riddle. From the Reformation all the way up until the middle of the 19th century, all Christians, except for those crazy Unitarians, believed in the Trinity. We were the only exception, which is how we got the name Unitarian, because we didn't believe in the Trinity, we believed in the unity. We believed that Jesus was an important spiritual teacher, but not co-eternal with God as part of the Trinity. In the middle of the 19th century, however, a lot of religious groups in the United States got started, and all of them denied the traditional view of the Trinity. This included the Adventists, just down the road here, the Latter-day Saints, just up the road, and a group of religions known as New Thought, Unity, Religious Science, and Christian Science. Unity refers to Jesus of Nazareth as the way shower, a person who shows how to live and to be in touch with that cosmic reality of God, what Emerson called the oversoul. But they do not accept the traditional view of the Trinity. They talk more about Jesus in a unity church than we usually do here, but their view of who Jesus was isn't all that different from ours. Unification also denies the Trinity, but they come at it from a totally different way. I mean, a totally different way. The Unification Church's full name is the Holy Spirit Association for the Unification of World Christianity. It's a mouthful, isn't it? They're better known by the name of their founder, Sun Moon Moon. They reject the traditional Trinity, believing instead that Jesus is a second Adam, not part of God. And they believe that the Holy Spirit is God's feminine nature, not a separate being. They also believe that the third Adam, the second Christ, was born in Korea at about the same time as Sun Moon Moon, although the church does not technically claim that Reverend Moon is the Messiah, but it's a pretty small technicality. The Unification Church does share some other things, believe it or not, with us Unitarian Universalists. They believe, for example, in universal salvation, that we are all saved in the end. They embrace wisdom from other religions, in their case, particularly the teachings of Confucius and some Shinto and Buddhist insights. We do not, however, share their ritual practice of mass weddings, nor their hierarchical structure, nor their rabid anti-gay stance, quite the opposite, nor their belief in an actual Satan, nor their focus on end times and a second coming, or in their case, a third Adam. We have a lot of differences with the Unification Church. When someone asks you if we are like them, you can answer unequivocally, no, we are not. We have, coincidentally, a few beliefs in common, but it really is a coincidence and not an organic reality. There are a few other differences between us and all these other uni traditions. For one, our professional religious leaders, our clergy, undergo a lot more training. It's not hard to have a lot more training than clicking on the submit button on the Universal Life Church website. It's a pretty low bar. But the 4 years of training required for our ministry at an accredited seminary is far more than the optional, you can if you want to, but you don't have to, 2-year program at Unity headquarters. Ours has always been a learned ministry, where intellectual rigor is required of our leaders and expected of our members to boot. This may be partly a consequence of our second major difference. We predate these other movements by more than 450 years. We are much older. We are not new. We've been around a long time. We've changed a lot over the years, but we have a continuous commitment to reason and liberty and character that we can trace back to our beginnings, to Francis David, the author of our responsive reading. Third, we're much more committed to social engagement and the work of justice than these other uni groups. Unity has some modest involvement in social justice, but the Emerson they have followed is much more interested in contemplation and prayer as vehicles to change the self. Whereas the Emerson we have followed is the anti-slavery activist, the pro-suffrage crusader for justice. They're both Emerson, the same guy, but we have learned slightly different lessons. The Universal Life Church advocates strongly for religious freedom and the separation of church and state, but otherwise they are silent. They don't take stands on things. They don't meet, so it would be hard for them to do that. And they're not really an institution in any way. The Unification Church is active in anti-communist, anti-gay right-wing causes. They own a bunch of right-wing publications. That's not our kind of justice. So you can tell people, yes, we have some things in common with these other U traditions, and we have some important differences too. Here's the point. There is nothing that you cannot find, that you will find in Unitarian Universalism that you cannot find in other religious traditions too. If you want social engagement, the Society of Friends and liberal Catholics and the United Church of Christ and the Mennonites and many others do social justice. Sometimes they do it better than we do. Sometimes a lot better than we do. If you want religious diversity, the Universal Life Church offers it, although they don't worship, so it'd be hard to experience it. But nonetheless, they offer it. Some Congregationalist churches do religious diversity pretty well. You can find Buddhist practices and neo-pagan rituals and Jewish worship all a lot more pure than you'll find with us at those respective places of gathering. You can find the emphasis on personal conscience and transcendentalist ideas at Unity and in many other religions. And you'll find a warm and caring religious community in a lot of places. You'll find an emphasis on reason among many others, including Judaism and Hinduism and most of your mainline Protestant traditions. There's nothing that you will find here that you can't find somewhere else except this. We put it all together. We're the only place where you can find all of those things in one place. There are a lot of ways to be religious, and there are thankfully a lot of ways to be liberally religious. I like our way. When I look around at the religious marketplace, I find things I like, but nothing I like as much as I like our way. I find a home in a community that puts together the unity of existence with an emphasis on social justice and radical inclusion. I like that ours is a learned ministry of intellectual rigor and a humility about the rightness of any single set of metaphors. I like that we're a formal institution with a long history and a way of holding each other accountable. I could find a few of these things in some other places, but not all of them together. That's why I call Unitarian Universalism my religious home. It's easy to get the name confused. It's a lot of syllables, Unitarian Universalism. Maybe we should have called ourselves Marvin O'Gravely Balloon Face, or Ziggy, or Sir Michael Carmichael Zutt. We wouldn't have gotten mistaked with anybody else. Indeed, when the Unitarians and the Universalists got together in 1961, we almost changed our name to the United Liberal Church. But we decided in the end to hold on to that 450 years of history, to remember who we are and where we come from. Anyway, it still would have been a U, and in the back of the phone book, although we don't really use phone books anymore, our path is not for everyone. But it's for me, and it is a path for most of you. What matters most in the end is not, of course, the similarities and differences in our beliefs and attitudes with other religions. What matters most is this: does your religious and spiritual home help you live a life with more joy? Does it open up your heart to others? Does it make you a more just and compassionate person? Does it engage your mind and your body in a search for truth? If it does those things, then we need not give it a long name or fight about the name. We need only call it good. I hope that whatever religious home you or the people you love call home, it will lead you ever onward to joy and love and justice and truth. Let's sing together. I invite you to rise in body or in spirit. It's number 113 in your gray hymnal, "Where is Our Holy Church?"